Say, we are going to dive into the last part of our series that we've been in for the past 2 weeks called One Word. And I pray that this series has blessed you. It's touched your life. I pray that it's encouraged you. I pray that you haven't just been hearing the word, but you've also been applying it and been doing it, because the blessing is not just on hearing it, but it's actually on doing it and putting it into action. And so today's word, I believe, is going to really summarize in many ways just what God is calling us to and just how God wants to bless us. But how he blesses us is sometimes connected to things that he's calling us to. And so we're going to dive into part, I think, 6 of our message series, One Word. And so we're going to go to Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30 is where we're going to just spend some time today gleaning some principles that I believe God has for us. And so Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. And if you don't have a Bible, we got it for you on the screen just to be able to serve you and meet that need as well. But here's what it says in Matthew 25, beginning at verse 14. For the kingdom of God is just like a man about to go on a journey. He called his own servants, and he entrusted his possessions to them. One he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, depending on each one's ability. Everybody say ability. Everybody say ability. Then he went on a journey. And immediately the man who had received 5 talents went to work, put them to work, and earned 5 more. In the same way, the man who had 2 earned 2 more. But the man who had received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. And after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And the man who had received 5 talents approached, presented 5 more talents, and said, "Master, you gave me 5 talents. See, I have earned 5 more." He says, "You gave me the bag. I went and got more bags." Then the next one says, then the master says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy." And the man with 2 talents also approached him, and he said, "Master, you gave me 2 talents. See, I have earned 2 more talents." And his master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy." And the man who had received 1 talent, everybody say 1 talent, also approached and said, "Master, I know you. You're a harsh man, reaping where you haven't sown, gathering where you haven't scattered seed. So I was afraid and went off and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours." His master replied to him, "You evil, lazy servants." These are some strong words right there. Evil and lazy. I don't know about you. Those are some strong words to say to somebody. Evil and lazy servants. If you knew that I reap where I haven't sown and gather where I haven't scattered, then you should have deposited my money with the bankers, and I would have received my money back with interest when I return." You know what I feel like he's saying? He's saying, "Where's my money, bro? You got my money?" Then he says this, "So take the talent from him. Give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more, more will be given, and he will have more than enough. But from the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. And throw this good for nothing servant." Those are fighting words. Throw this good, this no good servant. "Throw him out into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." But I want to preach for a few moments from verse 21. To shape our sermon. The master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful." Everybody say faithful. "Over a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy." That's the word I want to preach about today. I want to preach from and preach on the word faithfulness. Look at the person beside you and ask them, "Are you faithful? Are you faithful?" Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy. We pray that you would speak to us right now. I pray that our hearts would not be stony ground or hard ground, but that it would be fertile soil, that we would receive your word, that it would take root in us to accomplish the purpose that you have set for it to accomplish in our lives. We thank you and we love you because you first loved us. In Jesus' name, and everyone said amen. Amen. Faithfulness. Recently, my wife Ariel and I, we were having a conversation because we noticed that in our house was beginning to fill up with an endless supply of toys that were accumulating in every room, every nook and cranny, every bedroom, in the bathroom, in the kitchen, in drawers, in closets, in laundry baskets, everywhere you could imagine, we found toys. And we were having this conversation recently, and we were like, man, all these toys that are sitting here that never get played with, but were once asked for. And I remember, in particular, not too long ago, there was one family member, and I won't mention who it is, because the person is actually sitting here in service now, asked for a particular possession for about a month. Day after day, this person would ask over and over and over and over again for it. Daddy, can you get this? Daddy, can you get this? Daddy, can you get this? And finally, we broke down and got it. Played with it for about a good day. A month later, this past week, I was in the back and I happened to look up under the couch and I saw the toy that was hoped for, desired for, fasted for, prayed for, annoyed for, sitting up under the couch. And my wife said, oh, that's the toy they've been looking for the longest time. And in that moment, I had parental anger. Because I said, the thing that you asked me for the most, you have done the least with. And I know God calls me to be gracious, but in this moment, I want to take this and throw this on the curb. Because you have not been a good steward of the thing that you asked me for, the thing that I, with my hard-earned money, have put in your hands. Have anybody ever been there before? Maybe not where you were on that end of it, but maybe on the end of receiving something but not doing anything with it. And it's interesting because in this parable, Jesus tells this parable, and the parables in the scripture were stories that Jesus would tell to oftentimes to communicate or to illustrate a biblical or a spiritual truth of some sort. And in this parable, there's a few main characters. One is the master. Others are the servants. And so he tells this parable about how this master, who has all these incredible possessions and riches, he entrusts his possessions to his servants. Verse 14, it actually says it. He called his own servant and he entrusted, watch this, his possessions to them. This is important to understand for the whole duration of this message. I need you to get this. The principle that Jesus is trying to help us understand. In this story, the master represents Jesus or God himself. The servants represent us. The master gave his possessions, not their possessions, his possessions to the servants. He entrusted what was belonging to him to them. What does that mean for us? That God has entrusted what has belonged to him and belongs to him to us. Why is this important to understand? Because Psalm 24:1 says this, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. In other words, everything that you and I have is a gift from God. It all belongs to God. The car belongs to God. The degree belongs to God. The house belongs to God. The apartment belongs to God. The money belongs to God. The shoes belong to God. The hair that you just bought yesterday belongs to God. It all belongs to him. Everything belongs to God. And what God does, because of his grace, as we see in this passage, what the master does, is he graciously gives his wealth here to his servants. It is a picture of how God graciously gives us what we have in our lives. What do I mean by that? Notice how there is nowhere in this passage where it says that the servants worked for what the master gave them. He just voluntarily put what he possessed into their hands. It is a picture of the unmerited grace of God. That's what grace is. It is God giving us something that we did not earn. It is God blessing us with things that we did not work for. It is a picture of God's undeserved kindness. It is a picture, as we talked about last week in the message that we talked about grace. If you missed it, you need to go back and listen to it. That God extends his grace to us. He gifted us the gift of salvation for our sins because we could not earn our salvation on our own. He did it for us through Jesus Christ, his son on the cross and through the resurrection because of his grace to us, because of his love for us, because of his compassion for us, not because we're that good, not because we're that nice, not because we get it all right, cross every T, dot every I, simply because God is that good and God is that gracious. Thanks be unto God that God gives us things that we don't work for. He gifted us with this. The relationships that you have are a gift from God. The abilities that you have are a gift from God. The talents that you have are a gift from God. The health that you have is a gift from God. The career that you have is a gift from God. You being able to make the honor roll, students, is a gift from God. The ability that you have to be able to play athletics or play sports, to be athletic, is a gift from God. Everything belongs to him. And now what he has done is he has entrusted it to us, not for us just to use to benefit our lives. He has given us what he has given us for the sole purpose for us to be faithful with what he's given us. It's the word I want to talk about today. You see this multiple times in scripture. Faithful. What do you mean by faithful, Pastor? The word faithful in the Bible terms simply means to be trustworthy. It means to be reliable. It means to be dependable. In other words, it means, can I be trusted with what's been put in my hands? Can I be trusted with what has been given to me? This parable teaches us something about faithfulness, which is what I want to talk about for the next few moments that we have together. This parable helps us to understand some principles as it pertains to faithfulness. The first principle is this: the potential in faithfulness. Verse 15 says these words: to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, depending on, watch this, each one's, say it with me, ability. In other words, you and I have the potential to be faithful. Why? Because God has placed something in your hands that you are called to steward. He has entrusted something to you that he wants you to be a good steward over. Now, here's what you got to understand. Your capacity may be different than the capacity of the person sitting next to you. The person sitting next to you may have been trusted with 5 talents. The person sitting next to you may have been trusted with 2 talents. The other person behind you may have been entrusted with 1 talent. Those of you guys who are watching online, you may have been trusted with something different than somebody else. But nonetheless, all of us have been entrusted with something. You have been given something from God. And you haven't really just been given something from God. You've been given a lot from God. Plenty from God. You and I have been the recipient of so many different things from God. But oftentimes the reason why we don't function the way God intends is not because we don't, it's not because we lack potential. It's because we don't recognize the value of it. You don't recognize the value that's in your hand. You don't see that what you have been given is valuable. That's what the third servant actually represents in this passage. He went and dug what the master had given him. He didn't see the value in what he had. He didn't see the value in the fact that his master entrusted something to him that he didn't even ask for, that he didn't even work for, that he didn't even earn. He cast it to the side. And God says, today, I want to get you to a place where what I have put in your hand and what I've blessed you with, you don't dismiss, but you appreciate its value. That, yes, I know you may not be in a favorable situation right now, but there's value to it as well. That, yes, I know you may want more, but there's value to what you have, which leads to the second point and second principle. That there's potential in faithfulness, but that there's also meant to be production in faithfulness as well. So when you look at this account, verse 16, notice what the Bible says. The man who had received 5 talents, watch what he does. He went, he put them to work. Some translation says he went at once and put his money to work. At once, meaning he didn't hesitate. He took it, put them to work, and he earned 5 more. And in the same way, the man with 2 earn two more. The servants here, these two servants, understood the value of what they had. And they knew what they were supposed to do with it. What was it that they were supposed to do? They were supposed to be faithful with what they had received for the benefit of their master. They had been entrusted with something from their master that they weren't meant to squander, but it was something that they were meant to be faithful with. Notice here that they produced with what they had. They used what they had. They didn't complain about what they didn't have. The guy with the two talents didn't say, "Master, why did you give me two talents compared to the guy with five talents?" I want you to understand something. The minute you begin to compare what you have compared to what somebody else has, it will begin to impede your progress in being faithful. That's what some of us have done. The reason why some of us in here aren't being faithful with what God has given us is, honestly, if we could just be real and be 100 and keep it 100, it's simply because we compare what we have against what somebody else has. And because we look at what somebody else has and what we don't have, we begin to diminish in value what we do have. But God says, I want you to be faithful with what you do have. And the two servants who had five and two talents, they produced what they had. They worked what was in their hand. They worked with what they had. Tell the person beside you, work what you got. Don't take that the wrong way, please. Work with what God has placed in your hands. I know we're in a 21st century culture, and it can mean a lot of things to a lot of different people, but as it pertains to the text and the gifts that God has given you, use what he has given you. Be faithful with it. You should be asking yourself, I should be asking myself, with what God has given me, am I being a good steward over it? Am I making the most of it? Instead of you asking, let me help you change your prayer request. Stop asking God for more stuff. Nothing wrong with making petitions to God. But ask God to give you the wisdom to be able to handle the stuff that you have. Ask him, God, would you give me wisdom as to how I can steward the little bit of money that I have because the bills are piling up? Help me to steward this. Help me to be faithful with what you have given me. Help me to be a good steward with what you have given me. I should be asking myself the question, am I making the most of what God has given me? Because faithfulness is choosing to make the most of what God has given you. Faithfulness is choosing to make the most of what God has given you. This is why the Bible says this in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Whatever you do, do it from the heart as something done for the Lord and not for people. And many of us in here today, if we could be honest, are asking God to bring forth increase in our lives. But the question that you got to really ask is what am I doing with what he's placed in my hands? What am I doing with what he's given me, right? How many of us have ever prayed and asked God for a new job, more resources, more income? God, would you bless me with a new job? But you're always late to the one that you have. God, bless me with more income. Why? So you can just keep going and buying more stuff and not really helping people? God, can you give me a better relationship? Why? So you can just go rip people apart like you always do? We're not really, if we could be honest about it today, I know most of us don't want to believe it, we are less like the two servants and more like the third one. Because God has placed stuff in our hands, but we're not always most faithful with it. God, would you bless me with more finances? Could you increase what you're giving me? Could you increase more? You know I'm going through tight stuff. And he says, yeah, absolutely. But let me ask you a question. Do you tithe? Do you honor me by bringing the first of what you have? Do you do that? Because if you're not faithful with what you have, if I can't trust you with little, why would I trust you with much? That would make two of us that's practicing bad stewardship. So the question is not, God, when are you going to give me more? The question is, when are you going to do more with what he's given you?
I know this sermon is not popular today. This is a way to shrink a church really quick.
But if you want to know how to grow in life and become the person that God has called you to be faithful. I remember, man, I was praying stupid prayers, like stupid prayers. And I mean that with what I'm about to say. Like, Lord, would you bless me? I remember I was like in high school. Lord, would you bless me to be on honor roll? But you never study. What, you just osmosis? I'm just going to give you massive revelation on pre-calc? Boy, you didn't know nothing before you took the test. Be faithful with what I've put in your hands. I remember a few years ago, my wife and I, you know, before our family kind of really started to grow and we started to have multiple kids and stuff like that, we were constantly like, man, we want to move to another house. We want to be in another house. This house doesn't really give us everything that we need. We're in a two-bedroom, you know, townhouse, two-story townhouse, 900-plus square feet, all that good stuff. And we're like, man, like, we just want something bigger, and we just want something more. How many of you guys have ever just been asking for something bigger and just asking for something better? Nobody wants to be honest in here, but all of us have done it. And we were just in that place where we're just like, man, God, we want more. We believe that you got more for us. We believe that you're going to increase our territory. We're praying the Jabez prayer. Lord, increase my territory. We prayed prayers and we tried to buy a house and nothing was working. Then one day we were sitting upstairs in the second bedroom in our townhouse, and it was like God spoke to us and said, are you being faithful with what I've given you? Are you taking care of what I've given you? Because I don't have any problem giving you more. My supply is endless. I own cattle on 1,000 hills. I don't need your help, bro. I'm good. And I do want to get things to you. But you're not being trustworthy with the 900 square feet, so why would I give you double that? Why would I give you more? And I remember that thing just kind of pierced our heart, and we looked at each other and we like, you know what? From this day forward, we're going to be faithful with what God has given us. We don't know when he's going to bring the increase, but you know what? We're going to give him thanks for the fact that we got a roof of our heads, over our heads, that bills are getting paid, that he's providing. We're just going to be faithful. It's not what we want. It's not a dream house, per se, but who said that where you are is where you're always going to be? Be faithful where you are. Grow where you're planted. I've talked to so many people, like even in ministry through the years, who are like, man, I want to be able to do this, and I want to be used by God. And I always say, are you growing where you're planted, though? Are you being faithful over what God has given you? I want to preach the gospel, but you don't study the word. You think God's going to put you on a platform when you ain't got nothing to say and people's lives are on the line? Be faithful. If you can't be faithful with 5 minutes studying the word, how can you be faithful with 30 minutes studying the word? Be faithful. Be a good steward over what you've been given and what's been placed in your hands, which all leads to the third servant, because the third servant, as I mentioned earlier, was careless with what he had. He received just like the other two had, but the difference is he wasn't faithful with it. He wasted it. And verse 18 says it. It says, but the man who had received one talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. This man took something that was valuable and buried it. I wonder how many of us are in here today, and you got gifts, you got anointing, you got talent, you got resources, but you're not leveraging it for the kingdom, and you're not being faithful, and instead, you're burying it in a hole where it can't be used. I wonder how many of us in here got dreams that's on the inside of us, and things that are on the inside of us, but because you're comparing yourself to other people and you're seeing what God is doing in the lives of other people and you think that you should be where they are, but you're not being faithful with where you are, I wonder how much is being missed out on your part because you are, you instead of being faithful, you're wasting it. Wasting it. Not valuing what has been given. So notice what verse 24 says when you jump down. Here's what the servant says. He gives a reason. The man who had received one talent also approached and said, Master, I know you're a harsh man, reaping where you haven't sown and gathering where you haven't scattered seed. So I was afraid and went off and hid your talent in the ground. See? You have what is yours. I want you to see what he's doing here. He is blaming the master for why he can't be faithful. He is making excuses as to why he can't be faithful. Hence why the next verse says, you evil, lazy servant. You are making excuses as to why you can't be faithful with what I put in your hands.
You've made every excuse in the book as to why you can't do something with what I've given you. You got the ability and the capacity to do more, but you're not doing it. He says, you're not being faithful, man. And I wonder how many of us in here make excuses as to why we can't be faithful, right? God, I want a better job, but you're late to the one that you're currently employed at all the time. But traffic is always crazy, man. That HRBT tunnel, oh my gosh. 64, man, Mercury Boulevard, man. That's why I'm late. No, you're not late because of traffic. You're late because you left late. And you left late because you got up late. And you got up late because you stayed up late. You weren't faithful with the time that you were given. And now all of a sudden you want to blame all these extemporaneous type of situations that are happening as to why you can't be faithful. And God says, no. There's no excuses as to why you can't be faithful because you have the ability to do so. With whatever it is that you have, whether it's little or much. Here's what the Bible says in Proverbs 10:4 about laziness. Lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. Some of us have been in here trying to figure out, man, why ain't nothing working? Because your cell is lazy. You didn't think you were going to come to church and the pastor was going to call you lazy. Some of us, can we just be real? Some of us are just lazy and slothful. It takes you forever to do stuff. And God is like, man, I'm trying to get something to you, but you take too long. And then you got the nerve to talk about, I'm waiting on God. God's like, we've been waiting on you forever. Says, be faithful with what I'm calling you to. Faithfulness is not meaning being a place of perfection, meaning being perfect. It just means to the best of my ability, I'm just going to be as best of a steward as I can. And even if I don't get it right, you know what? I'm still going to commit myself to being the best that I can be with it. It means this, that you can make excuses or you can make something happen, but you can't do both. You can make excuses or you can make something happen, but you can't do both. You can't do both. And God has given all of us in here abilities and gifts and resources. He's given you the ability. Some of you guys, he's given you crazy abilities to be able to advance his kingdom. But if we can be honest, we're sitting on that. We're sitting on the abilities that he's given us. We're sitting on the resources that he's given us. And we're not using it to advance his kingdom. But God says today, I want you to use what I've given you to advance the kingdom. That's why I'm so grateful for our B team and for just a generous church and for people who are saying, man, you know, it's not about me. I want to use what God has given me to leverage, to advance his kingdom on earth. And if this is you today and you're like, man, I feel convicted already. I need to start using my gifts. We got step 3 of the growth track happening as soon as service is done to help you discover what your purpose is and to find out how you can begin to use what God has given you to advance his kingdom, which leads to the next point, that there is potential in faithfulness. And there's also meant to be production in faithfulness. But then there's another thing about faithfulness that you have to understand. And this is the thing that many of us don't like. That there has to be persistence in faithfulness. That faithfulness is persistence. Or another word I will substitute there. That faithfulness is about perseverance. It's about being able to press forward. It's about continuing to be faithful, not just in the moment, but for a long period of time. How do we know this to be true? Because here in the passage, notice what happens. It says this in verse 19. After a long time, the master of the servants came and settled accounts with them. And the man who had received the talents approached, 5 talents approached and presented 5 more talents and said, Master, you gave me more, 5 talents. See, I've earned 5 more talents. Verse 22, the man with 2 talents also approached. He said, Master, you gave me 2 talents. See, I've earned 2 more talents. Why is this so significant? Because notice here that the Bible says the master was gone for a long time. And one of the things that you got to also understand about investments in that day and time, you didn't just take 5 bags of gold or whatever it was, 5 talents, and just turn it overnight and into 10. It took time. It happened over a series of days, months. It was a long time. Here's what it helps us understand, that faithfulness is about perseverance. That you got to be faithful, not just for the moment, but for the long haul. That it's not just enough to be on time one time, but I got to be consistent with it. Faithfulness is not just something that just happens for the moment. It is something that must happen for a series of time. It is
helping us understand that my commitment to God is not just for the moment, but it's for the long haul. Let me say it like this. Faithfulness is not a one-time decision. It's a long-lasting commitment. It's not a one-time decision. It's a long-lasting commitment. It's every day saying, I'm going to steward what God has given me. It's every second saying, I'm going to the best of my ability, I'm going to use what God has given me. I'm not going to complain about what I don't have or what I do have. I'm going to be faithful with it. I'm going to be a good steward over it. I'm going to use what God has given me to the best of my ability. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about, because some of you all have been in situations where things may have been a little bit tight financially, and you had to make some things stretch a little bit. That means you couldn't buy the expensive cereal. No, that means you had to go to Aldi or Lidl and buy the store brand cereal. Y'all know what I'm talking about in here. It means we got to make this thing stretch. It means that I'm not going to H&M and I'm buying a $60 sweater. No, I'm going to the clearance rack. $5. It means that, hey, you know what? I'm not going to get the most expensive thing. It means that, you know what? I'm going to be as frugal as possible, because in this season, faithfulness is going to be tied to my frugalness. I'm going to be a good steward. I'm going to be a good steward over what God has given me. Why? Because here's the good news. When you are faithful with what God has given you, when you are maximizing that potential by being productive with what He has placed in your hands, and when you're doing it for a long period of time, if you would just stay faithful long enough, here's what God promises: promotion. Promotion. Everybody say promotion. Promotion. Everybody wants a promotion, but nobody wants to do what it takes to get there. Everybody wants to jockey and, you know, go be at arm's length for the better thing, but nobody wants to put in the work. Everybody want to be a champion, but don't nobody want to work like one. You don't want to sacrifice sleep and get up at the crack of dawn. You don't want to have to be doing 3-a-days on a football field to be able to heist that trophy at the end of the season. No. It doesn't happen just simply by believing it's going to happen. No. Faith without works is dead. Faithfulness is tied to me doing something with it. Because what happens is, when I'm faithful with what God has placed on my hands, He always brings promotion. How do we know that to be true? Verse 21 says this: His master told him, talking about the 5-talent guy, "Well done, good," watch this, "and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy." And then the man with 2 talents also approached. He said, "Master, you gave me 2 talents. See, I've earned 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy." Notice here what happens. The master rewards the servant's faithfulness, and he promotes them to have more. God has no problem giving you more. I want you to understand something as well. God wants to give you more. I thought some of you guys would get excited about that. He wants to give you more. He wants to do great things in your life. He has already done great things in your life, and He wants to do even greater things in your life. But some of those things are attached to what I'm stewarding and how I'm stewarding what He's already given me, and me being faithful with what He's already given me. Let me say it like this, that if you're faithful with little, God will trust you with more. If you are faithful with a few things, God will give you more on the back end. God always blesses our efforts for Him. There is no sacrifice that is ever in vain. There is no commitment that is ever in vain. There is no season that is never in vain. He says, if you can be faithful a little bit of while, if you can be faithful long enough, I'll make you ruler over many. Because faithfulness to God leads to promotion from God. I remember when I was about a junior in college at ODU, I remember it was a time where I was like, I needed some income, and at the same time, I knew pretty clear like what God was calling me to go into pastoral ministry as a junior in college, and so I was just praying like, God, would you open up a job for me to be able to, you know, get a little bit of money on the side to be able to pay for a few books and, you know, this, that, and the third, and God opened up the door, and he blessed me, and he answered my prayer. Do you know the job that he gave me? It wasn't a ministry job. It was in the equipment room where I'm washing the undergarments of all the sports and athletic teams at ODU. Y'all don't want that blessing. Because when we ask for blessings, we want it all pretty and pristine and all nice and neatly tucked and nicely folded. And God says, I got a path for you, and it's going to go through here. Equipment room, buddy. Put them gloves on, because you're going to be coming in contact with a lot of nasty stuff, and I'm just going to leave it at that. And I remember so many times when I started that job at first, I was coming to that job and I was complaining and I was upset. And I was, God, I know you have more for me. This is from the enemy. It's like, no, it's not. It's from me. But you got to learn how to be faithful over a few things. Because when I'm calling you to, you're going to have to deal with a lot of dirty stuff when it comes to people's lives. That as a shepherd, shepherding is dirty work. So what better place to get you started, bruh, than to get you started not in a youth pastor position, but in a position where you got to get your hands dirty. Be faithful. And I remember so many times I was coming in, I was upset, and I was angry with God and complaining to God. And then one day I was working there late at night. I was working on some calculus homework or something like that, and I'm complaining to God. I can't believe you got me sitting up here in this office. I'm working on calculus that I got a D minus in right now. I don't even know what I'm doing in here, and I don't even know how I got to this job. I'm just so upset. I believe that you got more for me. I see what you're doing over here, and we're doing campus ministry, and hundreds of people are getting saved, and yet you got me in this equipment room first thing on a Sunday morning. This isn't your plan. God says, I want you to be faithful here. I want you to be steward. I want you to be a good steward here. And it was in that moment where God humbled me. In that moment, I was like, okay, God, you win. I'll be faithful. I don't know how long it's going to last. I don't even know what it's going to lead to. So I'll keep washing people's undergarments. If this was like a connect group, I'd use a different word. I'll keep washing all this stuff. And sure. You know what? Thank you for this job. Thank you for this income. Thank you for the little bit of book money and Chick-fil-A money in Jesus' name that you've given me. I got my Bible, I got you, Jesus, and I got this good old money to go to Chick-fil-A. Thank you. And I remember at the end of the semester, after the job was done, it was almost as if God was like, you've gone through this, now I got more for you. And I didn't even know what it looked like until a month later when I was at a church service. And I ran into a good mentor of mine, and he came up to me after service was done. He came and tracked me down after I was done. Didn't even really have a whole lot of conversation with him. Didn't even know he was going to be there, but it just happened to be at the same place at the same time. He came up to me and said, hey, man, how you doing? I'm good. He says, hey, I'm looking for a youth pastor to serve in my church full time. I want to know if you know of anybody. And I was like, well, let me call a few people, bro, and see what I can do. But it started not in that moment. It started in the equipment room, doing something that I didn't really want to do, being faithful over something that wasn't necessarily the most comfortable and the most convenient, which then led to that. Faithfulness always leads to promotion. And some of you are in here today, and you've been faithful, and you've been trying to figure out, God, when are you going to do it? God, when are you going to open up the door? God, when are you going to answer the prayer? And God says, I'm going to do it. But until I do it, I want you to be faithful. Keep serving. Keep pouring out your heart. Keep sacrificing. Keep spending endless hours. Keep doing this. Keep loving. Keep extending grace. Keep extending mercy, because I got something for you on the other side. I got a promotion on the other side of your faithfulness. And just as much as God blesses faithfulness, he despises unfaithfulness. Because the servant with the third talent, or the third guy with one talent, after he said all he said to him, I dug a hole and I buried it. I didn't do anything with it. He says, you evil, lazy servant, in verse 26, if you knew that I reap where I haven't sown and gather where I haven't scattered, then you should have deposited my money with the bankers and I would have received my money back. You could have done something with it. That's what he's saying. With interest when I returned. So watch this. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given. and he will have more than enough. But from the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. Now, Jesus isn't saying that if you have a whole lot, that he's going to keep giving you a whole lot. That's not what he's saying. He says that when you're faithful, I'm going to promote you. But when you're not faithful with what I've given you, you put yourself at risk to lose what I've given you. Not because I'm not good, not because I'm not gracious, but because I'm a good steward. And I don't want to waste what I'm giving out. And so we got to learn how to be faithful with the mundane, with the things that don't seem expedient or convenient. It shows us that God doesn't bless unfaithfulness, but that he blesses faithfulness. I want you to understand, some of us in here, if we could be honest, myself included, we've missed out on things because of the negligence of opportunities that God has placed in our hands. I'm not trying to shame you, I'm just being real. Because we were negligent with what God placed in our hands, we missed out on experiencing the fullness of it. But God says, if you will be faithful, I'll bless it. This is why Colossians 3, we read this scripture earlier. I want to read the second part of it. Verse 23, whatever you do, do it from the heart as something done for the Lord and not for people, knowing that you will receive the reward. You will receive the reward. You will receive it. It's not a possibility. You will be blessed for your faithfulness. This isn't some prosperity message. This is gospel. If you are faithful with what God has given you, he will give more to you. He will entrust more to you. An inheritance from the Lord, and you serve the Lord Christ. Remember that you're not doing it for anybody else. You're not even doing it for yourself. You're doing it for Jesus. He says, if you can be faithful with what I have given you, you guys are special because I didn't do this in the first service. If you can be faithful, camera people are like going crazy because they can't see me right now. Matter of fact, I'm going to use my six-year-old. Josiah, can you bring that here, buddy? There you go. Faithful. You're faithful. Awesome. If you can be faithful with this, if you can be faithful, Josiah, pull this out. Little technical glitches right here. With this, if you can be faithful with this right here, and all of us in here have different capacities. Some of us in here are the five talents. God has given you this much. Be faithful with it. Some of us in here are two talents. Be faithful with it. And some of us in here are the one talent. And you look at this and you're like, what are you going to do with this? And if we could be honest, we're more like the third servant more than we are the first two. So we'll complain about what we have or what we don't have. All while wanting this. God says, if you can't be faithful with this, do you really expect me to give you this? But if you could be faithful over a few things, all of this, if you can be faithful with this and use it to advance my kingdom, use it to make a difference. If you could be faithful in the mundane, faithful in the areas that's not popular, I got something for you on the other side that will absolutely blow your mind. I got something incredible for you that you couldn't even imagine being able to do on your own, because the blessings of God are more than you could ever imagine. The promotions that God gives are something that you can't work for. It's something that you can't earn. It's something that you can't find anywhere. God says, I got this for you. Yes, I do. But I need you to be faithful even in this season. Can you be faithful with it? And if we could be truthful about it, we're not faithful the way we should be. But I'm so glad that oftentimes what God does in our life is not about what we do. It's about God's faithfulness. Do you want to know why God calls us to be faithful? Because he's been faithful to us. He opened up the door for you. He provided for you. He made the way out of no way for you. He did the great thing for you. He answered the prayer. He healed your body. He made the ways out of no ways. He reconciled that relationship. He healed your heart of bitterness. He healed your body of cancer. He opened up the door. And he says, because I've done this, your response should be to be faithful. To be faithful. Because as I've been faithful to you, I want you to be faithful to me. That we are faithful to God because he's first faithful to us. So the words in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 says this: God is faithful. Some of you guys in here have come in here believing that God is not faithful because he hasn't come through on your prayer request yet, because he hasn't moved on your behalf. But I'm here to tell you that he is faithful. And if you will continue to trust him with what you've been given, working with what you got, using what you have, soon God will promote you. God will bless you. And you won't even have to work for it or earn it, because you're just being a steward of what he's already placed in your hand. That's the story about how we even got into this building here at 35 Todd Mill Lane. Because when we started this church almost 5 years ago with a vision to see people reconciled to God and one another, see people connected to Christ and to community, to see people of every nation, tribe, and tongue, to be a multi-ethnic, multi-generational church, we started at Bryan Elementary School in the Phoebus area of Hampton. It wasn't the most ideal environment, but it was a blessing, and we said, you know, we're going to steward this thing the best we can. We ain't got a whole lot of resources. We ain't got a whole lot of money. But with what God has given us, we're going to steward it. And after a year, God opened up the door for us to move to this building that's now a police academy, but it was a performing arts center right here in Hampton. Incredible space that we were really paying pennies to be in, that we should have been paying thousands of dollars to be in. And we were being faithful there, setting up, tearing down, sweating like crazy before service would start. Like, y'all were coming in and worshiping Jesus. We in this thing like out of breath, like, oh my gosh, it's with the grace of God that we're still here. Struggle was real. And I remember one team member came up to me and said, Pastor, you know, this is awesome, you know, but when are we going to have our own building? And I said, when God is ready to bless us, we're going to be faithful with what he's given us. We're not going to complain about it. Oh, we got to set up and tear down. Be faithful. Be grateful. It's not something we have to do. It's something we get to do. Because if we'll be faithful over a few things, God will make increase happen. Which then all led to the end of about 2017, where Pastor Freddie, good friend and brother and mentor of mine, he and I were having a conversation. He was like, hey, man, God has been blessing our church, and we got to move, and we're getting ready to strike up a partnership and build a relationship with another great church in our community to share their space, and because we've outgrown where we are. I wanted to know if you guys might be interested in taking up residence where we've been from the inception of our church. Some of y'all are like, well, what did you say? Well, look around. Because if you'll be faithful over a few things, God will make you rule over many. And that's the word that I want to leave with us today. Will you be faithful with what seems to be small and insignificant? Because if you'll be faithful with what appears to be small and insignificant, on the other side of that is something more than you could ever imagine. And I know some of us are in some situations right now that are just ugly and tight and troubling. But here's what I know, man. God is faithful. And he sees your sacrifice. And he sees your commitment. And he sees your faithfulness. And if you'll be faithful long enough, he will open up the door. And he will bless in such of a way that you don't have room enough to receive it. This is not just some pie in the sky type of theology. No, this is the gospel. This is the truth. This is what God would do. How do we know this? Because God proved it to us in Jesus, his son, the greatest servant who ever lived. Jesus came from heaven, poured out his life on the cross for the sins of humanity. He became a servant, the Bible says. And in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, it says he humbled himself and became a servant, even to that on the cross. And because of that, God gave him the name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord and Lord of all things. And what I'm trying to help you understand is that if you will be faithful with the cross that you are carrying right now, God has a crown on the other side of that cross. I believe that God will do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or imagine. Is there anybody here today who believes that God is faithful, that God will do great things, that God, come on, will open up doors, that God will answer prayers, that if we be faithful and trust him and trust him, he'll do it. And he'll make a way out of no way. And he'll be faithful. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that as you have called us to be faithful, that we would realize that our motivation for being faithful is because you've been faithful to us. That we're not faithful because we're that good. We're faithful because you are. We thank you for being faithful to us when we weren't faithful to you. Thank you, Lord, so many times when we were the third servant and we dropped the ball and we messed up and we wasted what you had given us. Thank you, Lord, that you were still faithful and you're still blessed. But today, Lord, we commit ourselves to being a faithful people.